So I'm going to start a couple of passages here in Exodus 31, and I'd like to talk about how we can participate in the works of the Lord as God's fellow workers. We've been going through, we're trying to go through the Bible as a family very slowly, but we just finished Exodus, so a couple of things that stood out to me have been helpful reminders, so I'm hoping we can go over this morning, Lord willing, and the Lord will bless His word. Okay. Why don't we pray first and ask for the Lord's help to... Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. We thank you we can enter into the holy presence of God because of the finished work of Christ. Lord, we think of the Old Testament where they could not come into your presence. What a privilege we have to have such free access. We pray you might bless your word now as you would speak to us through your spirit. It would help our hearts to be moldable and stirred up by way of reminder as we consider the Lord Jesus, consider the work that you are doing during this time. We pray for your blessing now here and for the Sunday school. We pray in the name of all names, Lord Jesus Christ. I forgot where it was. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so let's read Exodus chapter 31. Read the first 11 verses. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'See, I have called by name Benzelel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table, its utensils, pure gold lampstand, and all the utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, and all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of the ministry and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. And the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." We turn over now to 1 Corinthians 3. We'll be coming back, so keep a spot in Exodus. I'll admit, when I've read that passage in the past, I didn't get much out of it. But I think I was missing a lot. So I recently read, I'll just mention this guy, McIntosh. We've been enjoying the notes that he has on the first five books of the Bible. It really brings to life some of these things. But let's read in 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 9. It says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So, making the connection here, Lord willing. First of all, we're God's fellow workers. That's an amazing statement, really. The work that he's doing is building the church, and we have an opportunity to work with him. The previous context of 1 Corinthians was talking about how Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's talking about the work of the ministry that we have. I want to compare that this morning to the work of the tabernacle. We are the temple, both individually and corporately, that God is building. Okay, it's God's work. First off, we want to remember that it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So the desire to do what's right comes from God, and the ability to do what's right comes from God. But we have to let him work, both in us and through us. Over and over in the New Testament, we read that, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. There's a choice to let him work or not let him work. We can't do the work of ourselves, but the choice we have is to just let him do it so we can participate in it. God wants us to participate in it. He could just do all the work without any human help, right? But he has assigned us to, as the song says, be his hands, be his feet. He wants us to be the body of Christ that the world sees, doing the work, doing his work. And then 2 Corinthians 3, of course, says our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. We'll get into more, Lord willing, of the priesthood of believers and responsibilities we have to build and to work for the Lord. So going back to Exodus 31, there's four things that stuck out to me here. Number one, called by name. So he calls this guy, I can't pronounce his name, but Benzeli, and he's the son of this son. He's a specific person. And then later on, he's appointed Aholiab, the son of another guy. So there were specific people the Lord had called out and given the gifts and the abilities to do these things. And we have to remember, Brother P recently talked about our calling. We are called individually and corporately to participate in the work of God. And the idea that he knows us individually is also important to keep in mind. And there's other religions or ideas. And for some reason, the thing that came to my mind was communism. Thinks of the corporate at the expense of the individual. And then our society thinks of, is very focused on the individual. And I think that actually comes from our Christian basis, where God is very focused on the individual. But God brings the individual into a conformance with Christ so that we can be united, church, and then unity in plurality, kind of, just the same as he is. And he's a unity of multiple parts. And so you don't lose the individualism, but you gain an awesome unity from multiple pieces. That's how God does it. So then the Spirit of God. Now, without the Spirit of God, obviously nothing, no spiritual work is going to be accomplished. He provides the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge. Right here in Exodus, the work they were doing was to build the tabernacle of God. They had physical materials, they needed physical knowledge and wisdom how to put this thing together just the way God commanded them to do. But the Spirit of God provided that ability, provided the wisdom and the ability to do it as God commanded. And then we have the materials that they used. It mentions a few here. Pure gold, lampstand. It mentions the jewels and silver. There's also, in other places, it talks about the acacia wood and all of these different materials spoke of the Lord Jesus. And in each one, you can see an aspect of his character and work. And so the pure gold, the glory of him, or the acacia wood was a wood that doesn't easily rot. And so it speaks of the character of Christ, and he was overlaid with gold. So the character was within, and then the gold was the glory on the outside. Then the blue and purple and scarlet curtains. At each doorway, there were curtains that were these different colors with special things woven on them. And that blue is heavenly, right? The sky is blue, and the purple was royalty. The scarlet speaks of suffering. So we have the Lord of heaven suffering, pictured right there in the curtains that they used, right? So the point is that every material that they used was an explicit picture, bringing out an aspect of the character of Christ and his work. So what they were building was a structure that showed Christ and that spoke of him through every aspect of it. Now, if they were to substitute, that's the next point. They did it as the Lord commanded. If they were to substitute it or tweak it a little bit, put their own style on it, that would have messed up this picture of Christ. They had to do it according as the Lord commanded. They shall do. God's work must be done in God's way. It was a pattern of things in the heavens. We get so much understanding. This is a passage in Exodus that it's very easy to read and just be like, I have no idea what is the significance. But that's why I really appreciated this brother's notes, because he brings out the points. Every little piece of this is showing us, it's revealing to us what's happening in glory, or what has happened, or what's continuing to happen. And there's so much truth that is much more deeply understood by examining and digesting these chapters. I feel like I barely scratched the surface. I'm going to go back through it. But there is so much there for us to learn of God's ways, of God's personality, Christ's character, and the extent of what his work accomplished. Now, the New Testament is very revealing of what the meaning is and helping us to get it. But the depth of it is not fully understood until we digest the Old Testament, really. And that a lot of what the New Testament was written to people who knew the Old Testament very well, and so there wasn't more explanation needed. But we have so much to learn, I feel like, to really grasp these truths. So it had to be as the Lord commanded. And then hopefully we can see a parallel now in 1 Corinthians 3. It gets very practical. We've been called by name. The individual Christian in this passage, as well as the corporate body, is the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so he's making a parallel to the tabernacle was the preliminary version that eventually became the temple. The point is, it was the place where God dwelt. And now the church is the place where God is dwelling here on earth. And we are called living stones in 1 Peter that are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so, the idea is that the thing that kind of stuck out to me, I guess, was the individual aspect of this. Because I guess I always thought of it corporately, God's building his church, right? But you're a part of that church. For each of us is individually a part of that church. And he's building our lives into a temple that is worthy of the one occupying us. He's transforming our lives from glory to glory. He's making us into the image of Christ, making us our individual lives. I think that's the intent of this the first aspect, at least the first application of 1 Corinthians 3. You're building your life on the foundation. You've got to be saved. It's got to be the foundation of Christ. And then we're building on that with materials. So the first part was we're called by name. We're individually, God wants me, he wants you to be members of his body and contributing individually. The Spirit of God, obviously, again, can't do any work, spiritual work without the Spirit of God. And he dwells in us. And this one same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one. This passage, 1 Corinthians 12, talking about spiritual gifts, how the Spirit has distributed to each one as he wills the gifts to accomplish the work of the Lord. So the Spirit of God is key. Then the materials, and that really comes out here in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 12. The gold, silver, precious stones, the wood, hay, and straw. And then the fire reveals what type of work it is. So the gold, silver, and precious stones reveal to endure fire. It speaks of eternal things that we've done or things in our character that are going to last for eternity. Well, the only things of Christ, Christ-like attitudes, Christ-like actions. Wood, hay, and straw are things that would be consumed by fire. And he speaks of the person going through this, even if they had only wood, hay, and straw. He said in verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So we take this as being speaking of the foundation is there, Jesus Christ, the saved person, and we build our lives, we build for the Lord a temple, both in our lives and communally as a church for the Lord. But if we're using the wrong materials, it's not glorifying to the Lord, and it's wasted. It's spent on temporal things that are not valuable for eternity. And so we ask the question, what materials are we using to build our lives? So are we building a holy temple for the Lord? There's two aspects, I guess. One is it something that lasts for eternity? And is it something that is holy, that is not going to defile the temple of God? I should look at my notes once more. So the things that came to mind is getting very practical. Are we building our lives with good materials, Christ-like actions and motives, giving glory to God, furthering the mission of God? Is that our purpose? Are we building a place in our hearts and life that enables worship and communion, service in and through the Lord? Good materials that speak of Christ, right? Thinking of him promotes worship in our daily life. Are we keeping the temple of God holy, using materials that are eternal? Are we, and that word edifying, are we building up this our lives and character to be more like Christ? Again, the enabling from the Holy Spirit, it's letting him work. Are we not allowing anything that defiles to come in and corrupt the temple of God, which temple we are? Very practical thing. Should I be watching that movie? Should I be going to that place or hanging out with those people? Whatever it is that could expose us unnecessarily to defilement, you know, there are things we can control in that arena. We don't have to let ourselves be corrupted by these things. For a living stone, we have rough edges. We're going to fit in with the Lord's construction plan. He's got to chisel off those edges, which could hurt. But Let's keep going. So, catching up with myself. All right, then the last point was, it has to be according to as God commanded. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3, take heed how he builds it. And then 17, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. And that could be referring back to, there was two folks after the law was given, they did everything as the Lord commanded, and two of the, I believe they were priests, decided to offer fire not the way God said. They had their own ideas. And the fire of God came out and consumed them. And the same idea here, God will destroy him if you're defiling the temple of God. And I don't think that's, like we read before, I think we're talking about a saved person, but if they're causing the reputation of the Lord, and they're causing the temple of God, which is the church, to be defiled in some way, you know, the Lord may cut them off. We read in 1 Corinthians 11 of those who weren't discerning the Lord's body, that this is the reason that many sleep and some are sick among you. So there's a need for us to make sure we're doing it as the Lord commanded. Another thing I read from, I think it was one of Brother Wilbur's things, how the children of Israel were doing all these different things. They probably had no idea how this pictured the Messiah. But they had to do it the way God commanded, or it would have messed up that picture. And he mentioned how we may not understand everything God's commanded us to do, but if we don't do it the way God commanded, we could mess up a picture or some purpose that God has for the church. We know the church is showing forth the Lord, according to Ephesians 3. It's showing his purposes and plans. And so if we're not doing it the way it needs to be done, as God said, well, he may take away our lampstand, so to speak. He may take away our opportunity to be part of his work. So anyway, let's keep moving. So there's a living stone preparation. In 1 Peter 2 refers to us as the living stones. We're coming to him, the living stone. He's the chosen one. And we also, as living stones, are to being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer acceptable sacrifices through Jesus Christ. So I underline spiritual because it's a spiritual work. It may involve doing physical things, but it's a spiritual work done through the Spirit of God. It's holy. We have to be a holy priesthood. That means set apart from sin, set apart for the Lord, and then we can offer acceptable sacrifices through Jesus Christ. Our sacrifices are not the same as what they did in the Old Testament, obviously, because the main sacrifice has already been made through our Lord Jesus, and we bring him before the Father in worship instead of having to sacrifice something new. But there are other sacrifices that are referred to in the New Testament, like the sacrifice of praise. And we do have a work to do as the priesthood of God. We'll hopefully get into that more. Then there's the corporate construction, taking that living stone that's been prepared, and it's a piece of the whole. In Ephesians 4, maybe we could just read, it's hard to summarize these verses, but in Ephesians 4:11, let's just read 11 through 16. It says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's skip down to... Let's just read it. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So this is speaking of the church as the body of Christ, and multiple times mentions the word edifying. An edifice is a building or a large structure, and to edify is to build up, is to build that structure. And so the point of the work of the ministry is to build this body of Christ, to build this temple for the Lord's presence to dwell. And it's being built, I guess, it's being built as people are added to the church. It's also being built up as we grow as believers and become a better place for him to dwell. So it's a continuing work. And so the body can edify itself. It can build up, right? It can build up this temple, in a sense, for the Lord to dwell in and work in. And every part of the body, again, you have the individual contributing to the corporate and the unity of the work of the ministry for all the saints. So the edifying of the body, the building up of the church, this is the work that God's doing. So the priesthood, so I mentioned before, building a place where it's holy and it's a place for the presence of God to dwell. Now we do that, they were, in the Old Testament we just read about the tabernacle, they were building this place so that it could be a place of communion between God and men. It could be a place where the priests could exercise their duties and in sacrifices and going in there to do the work of the Lord. And so when we're building our lives by the Spirit's enabling, we're building the church both individually and corporately so that we can exercise the priesthood of God in the duties that we have. We read here in 1 Peter chapter 2, it reads that we're living stones, we're being built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, but to offer up spiritual sacrifice. There's a purpose to this. And then later in 1 Peter 2, that we're a royal priesthood, that we may proclaim the praises of him. So we're doing this so that we can offer spiritual sacrifice, so that we can proclaim his praises. So the purpose of building this house is so we can exercise the priesthood of the Lord. And the priest had a priestly service was a daily ministry inside the tabernacle and outside the tabernacle. They had to burn incense, trim the wicks on the candles so the light would shine, right? And manage the showbread. Again, all this speaks of Christ and him in our lives. And this daily ministry is something we have to apply spiritually. They did it physically so we could see what it means spiritually. Trimming the wicks, you know, there's maintenance to ensure that the light is shining brightly. Think of the Lord Jesus as the light. The burning of the incense is picturing worship. That incense had a specific composition. It pictures the Lord Jesus and his the sweet aroma that would go up from the incense, that's what we can bring by bringing the Lord Jesus, like the incense was brought before the Lord. And then they managed to show bread, you know, the bread again speaking of the Lord Jesus. And we have to have a fresh taste of Him. This has to be done daily in order to maintain fellowship with God. Then there's outside the tabernacle, they had offerings, and they had to give the offerings, the judging, the teaching, the priest did. And that could speak of the second part of that 1 Peter 2, of how we are to be proclaiming Christ in and through our lives. And the offering of praise, if you're proclaiming the praises of Him, you're sharing Christ in the way that you live. So there's a daily ministry, and personally, I don't think there can be much outside if there's no inside. There needs to be this inner communion with the Lord. And I'm speaking because the Lord convicted me of this. and the need to have a continual... You know, this is a relationship that we have to maintain. We're not maintaining our salvation. The once-for-all sacrifice is done, but we have to maintain our fellowship with the Lord through daily priestly ministry. There's an interesting thing. The preparation of the priests, they were consecrated in Leviticus 8. They were fully washed. They were anointed. And the anointing oil, again, speaks of the Holy Spirit. And the blood was applied. You know, they applied it to different parts of themselves. So that speaks, I think, of salvation. And the second that we're saved, the Lord consecrates us, or appoints us, or what's the other word they use? Ordains us as a priest of God. That's pretty awesome. Isn't that awesome? I mean, every Christian has a very unique opportunity here. But then there's a priestly service on the daily ministry where they had to wash their hands and feet every day before they went in. And so there's an idea here of the washing of the water of the Word, the daily devotional, the confession of sin to be right with God, and to be cleansed so that we can be effective in this priestly service. There's got to be a place, and there's got to be an active priestly duty. I think we can very easily neglect the priestly duties that God's given us, and yet there's a huge blessing that we're missing to do. This one, you don't have to read the whole thing. I can put the whole verse on there because this is one of my favorite verses, but just to emphasize the benefit of the priesthood, when the priest would go into the holy place, he wouldn't go into the Holy of Holies except once a year, but the Lord, it says here, you know, the veil was torn. We enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, not through death anymore, but through the living Lord Jesus. We have access, even in our daily priestly ministry, that curtain's wide open to the holiest of holies, Almighty God's presence, in our just sitting at home doing our daily devotion. I mean, think about how awesome that is. The people, when they went in there without a sacrifice, they were dead. Right? Well, we don't go in without a sacrifice. We go in with the finished work of Christ and the blood that was shed. And as we worship in this picture of the incense, we're in that very presence of God. We can enjoy that now. You would say, oh, when we get to heaven, it's going to be wonderful. No, it is going to be wonderful. It'd be better. But we don't have to wait to heaven to begin exercising this priestly duty. In fact, we're not supposed to. We're supposed to do it right now. We've been commissioned as priests of God. Are we doing it? Or are we neglecting our duty for the Lord? So we're called to participate in the work of God. We are all being transformed into the same image. You know, His work is to change us. First off, individually, to change us into the image of Christ. And then His work also is preparing His wife has made herself ready. Right? when he comes back, he's going to have it. His wife is being made ready. That's the church, both corporately and individually, to be with him forever in marriage. And that he may present her to himself. Right? He did all this that he might present her to himself, a glorious church. He's changing us from glory to the image of Christ. And that's individual and corporate. And so when we work ourselves, it's a choice to allow him to change us. But then as we work together in the church, whatever duty we may have, we're helping to build up this spiritual house, the agent of divine. We're helping to edify ourselves in love, which is building this church, which is preparing his bride. It's part of God's work. And we are privileged to have the opportunity to participate in. He doesn't need to use us, but he wants to use us. We can let it all pass by and have a wasted work and still be saved, apparently. But he wants us to participate, and there's great reward now and for eternity if we do. I guess that's it. We're growing into the fullness of Christ. Don't resist his work. Cooperate with him. And that's the participation part. And then the idea also we read about each part doing its share. And a lot of times we think of the work of the ministry as the things we see. But there's a lot of things we don't see. And they're just, if not more important. Somebody could be scrubbing the kitchen floor, right? They're doing it for the Lord, the work of the Lord. Anything that is facilitating the operation of the local church is facilitating the growth and the building of the Lord's enabling the work of the Lord. Is part of the work of the Lord, I should say. And there's other things that aren't seen, like prayer. Is probably more important than the outward things we do. Preparing the heart and moving the hand of God, in a sense. We brought our kids to Awana, just quickly say, that last year. And they had they call it a war room, because you know the movie, The War Room. And every night when they held one, they had two people who volunteered to just go into that room and pray while it's going on. That was all they did. And so you might say, oh, well, we need your help out here. But what they were doing was probably the most important work of all. They were just praying for the ministry as it's happening. So that you don't want to forget that there's things we don't see, and just hold in high esteem whatever it is that God has called you to do. He's uniquely gifted each one of us to be part of the ministry, to accomplish his purposes. And we ought to esteem what he wants us to do as his work, because that's what it is. And do that with a whole heart, a true heart, before him. You know, the trimming the wicks. Right, that must have seemed like such a menial thing to do, but the light isn't going to shine very well for long. You don't. There's many aspects that are critical to the operation of the Lord's church and his assembly, and we have opportunity to be a part of it, and that's a great opportunity. So, I wish I could get, comments from others about it. He has to close, I guess.
How about an amen, brother?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. We thank you for the multiple levels of truth that you reveal to us. And we pray that you might give us, as you said you will, give us a desire and an enabling to delve deep into understanding your truth. You get a greater picture of the person of our Savior and his work that he accomplished. that might just fuel a life of service, a life dedicated to you, a life that's worth something for eternity. When we think of the incense, we might bring worship every morning before your throne. What an opportunity. And we'd go out smelling of the freshness, of the sweetness of our Savior, Lord Jesus. Help us to take on the charge of being priests of the Most High God. What a privilege. What an opportunity. So we pray for hearts that are willing. That's all you need. Help us have hearts that are willing and dedicated to not waste any more time, but to use every second you've given us to bring glory to our Lord Jesus. We pray these things in his name, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.